Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today on The Grave Talks, 8 months in a haunted school. A conversation with Angelina Rivera. It was a career move of a lifetime. Angelina Rivera was on track to be on the Bass Pro fishing team. The only problem, where would she live? With the help of a friend, she was offered a very spacious accommodation, loaded with rooms, multiple bathrooms, even a gym. The only problem, it was an old abandoned schoolhouse that needed someone to help take care of it. It was housing nonetheless, so Angelina gladly accepted, only to soon discover that while no living souls were passing through the halls of this old building, there were many souls of those who had passed on. Angelina would soon meet many of them. Today, we hear her story on The Grave Talks.
So what got me into the paranormal was 4 years ago, I moved to Middletown, Ohio to do some fishing for Bass Pro. And I was sitting with some friends and they were talking about ghosts and spirits, and I'm Catholic. And I said, you guys, you know, that's ridiculous. That's not going to happen. There's no such thing as ghosts. You guys are just watching this trumped up stuff on YouTube and it's all fake. So they said, all right, Angelina, well, we're going to take you to Posttown Elementary School, which is located right here in Middletown, Ohio, and we'll let you check for yourself. So we drove to Posttown School in Middletown. And I said, you know, the school is closed. They said, just walk around and put your video camera on. So I did. We trespassed, and I don't suggest people do that. It's one of my adventure things I like to do. I put my iPhone camera on and I was recording around the school. We did it for about an hour. I get home, I watch back my recorder, and lo and behold, I see two white figures that look like little children trying to get past me as they're crouching down. It freaked me out. I threw my iPhone against the wall, called the caretaker, Daryl Wisman at Posttown Elementary, and said, I trespassed on your property, but I seen something on my camera that you might want to take a look at. And I met up with him the next day and I showed him my evidence, and he said, well, do you believe now?
And
I absolutely said, I absolutely do. So after that little piece of evidence that I caught, I was drawn back to Post Town, and I went to my very first Paracon there, and I got, I was with Deb and RJ DeRouse. They're huge into the UFOs and the aliens. I don't know what you actually call that kind of study. Amazing people, got a lot of books out. And I did my very first ghost hunt with them after the Paracon. And at that point, it was the first time I've ever been touched. It freaked me out. I jumped across the room and we investigated around the school. And I got to be really good friends with Daryl, the caretaker. And next thing I know, I'm volunteering at the school. I'm helping up. I'm, you know, cleaning up, just working around the school, keeping it nice. Next thing I know, I move into the school on December 26, 2018, and there started my 8-month study into the paranormal, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow. I mean, this is interesting. So we take this back to you really, you know, most of your life not really having an interest in it or really even a belief in this topic. Is that accurate?
Right. None at all. Not even watching horror movies. Mm-hmm. Never watched any ghost movies. It was not accepted in my family mm-hmm. because of our religion and us being Catholic. Mm-hmm. And it's still not accepted. My family is okay with what I do, but we don't talk about it.
I want to get to that in a little bit, but I want to ask you more about the experience of capturing the what seemed like children on the camera. Now, when you were doing this and you had the camera out, were you seeing it in real time on like the viewfinder?
No.
So you saw it when you went back and reviewed the footage?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. When I went back and reviewed it and I says, okay, what was that? Mm-hmm. And it looked like two little white children crouching down with kind of like, you know, when you get in trouble at school and you get those dunce caps put on your head.
Well, I don't think anyone, I don't think half of our audience would have any concept of what that is, but yes.
So, yeah, it's like this big, they look like they had these big cone hats on.
Today you'd go to prison if you did that.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I was panning to the left, and as I'm panning to the left in the video, you can see them coming straight across the bottom of my screen from the left to the right, like they were trying to get away from me. And then as I go further into the video, maybe about 5 seconds more, I see little children poking their heads out of the bushes, but not in real time, just when I watched it back.
When you were there and you were actually filming this, what did you have any sense? Did you have any feeling of anything awkward at those moments?
I did. And I watched a video back just the other day because for some reason I don't watch my stuff back. And right before that happened, I said, do you guys hear that rustling over there? And then immediately after that, you see these little figures just pass by my camera.
Really?
Yeah. And it sounded like it was coming from my right, but they came out from my left. But I definitely was triggered and heard something. And I never realized it till I watched that video back, maybe about a couple days ago. I just watched that back and it's been 4 years.
So when you have this experience and you're watching the video back for the first time and you still, you know, nothing happened, you know, visibly or audibly to you at the moment of the investigation, but looking back at the evidence, that's a lot to square up. I mean, it's a lifetime of not believing in any of these things. And from a religious standpoint, even harder to square up because it obviously religion has a lot more influence than just, I don't think that type of animal over there is real. And then you say, oh, okay, I get it. Sure. But it's different when there's something, you know, a religious component to it. And you're seeing these things for the first time on camera going, what the heck is that? And then kind of having that moment of clarity, like there's nothing to explain this other than what everyone else has been saying. This is a ghost. How are you? Right. How did you square that up? How are you processing that at that moment?
Well, first I panicked, and I got really scared and I got chills all over my body. And I said, this cannot be true. This cannot. And then as I picked up the phone and watched the rest of it, I said, God, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry if you're going to be angry at me, but I believe in ghosts. I believe in them 150%. Mm-hmm. And then I called my family to tell my family what I was about to encounter and on. And they objected against it. But I got to be honest, I lost a little bit of faith in my religion. Mm-hmm. Because they told us, this isn't true. You don't believe in this. This doesn't happen. And I started questioning my religion due to that video.
Well, have you found a way? Because, I mean, I talked to, you know, thousands of people over the years on this stuff. And many of them are quite religious. And I'm not saying pro-religion, anti-religion, anything like that. I'm just saying most of them are in some way, shape, or form. And they found a way for this all to kind of make sense together. It doesn't have to be a this way or that way type thing.
Right. I still, after I got right with it and was, you know, like, you know, God's going to love me no matter what. I heavily use my religion when I'm investigating. I wear my rosaries. I ask for God to protect me. I also ask for God to forgive me, to do something I know he doesn't want me to do. So being a Catholic, you know, all we got to do is repent and our sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. So I really hang on to that now. And I repent every time I do an investigation. But it has changed some of my thoughts in what I grew up believing in the Catholic Church and what my priest and nuns were saying. Mm-hmm. I've learned that it's okay to be Catholic and have my own thoughts and opinions. And then I learned that from my religion, that's all they ever wanted us to do was respect what they were saying, but go out there and have our own thoughts and opinions, but just live a good life and be good to people. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot to me. So it took kind of like finding that evidence for me to even dig further into my religion to be like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Let me ask you, I mean, as you had these experiences and you were seeing these things on camera and you're squaring all this up and just trying to process it in every which way, shape, and form, it has to be running through your mind, okay, well, there's something here. And you can use the generic term ghost for it, but then that goes into, you know, the ghost family tree. What are we dealing with exactly? So what, and it's an opinion-based question, but what do you think you were dealing with there? What do you think that was on that camera? Because we could look at it and go, it's the spirit of children. We could go, it's residual energy. We can go, it's something dark. We can go, it's something good. There's 50 different ways we can go with this, even more. Where did you go with it in your mind?
I went in my mind immediately to off its ghosts and spirits. For some reason, ghost sounds disrespectful to me. Spirit sounds a little bit better.
Okay.
But once I learned the history of what had happened at that school and across the street from it, mm-hmm. then I found my answer to, I believe these were children, one of them who possibly drowned in a lake in front of the school.
Okay.
And then there was another child that was killed in front of the school in a car accident. So that's when I finally understood, okay, maybe that's them mm-hmm. that died. And maybe that's them that was playing around the school and I just popped up at the wrong time and scared them.
Were those, I mean, I'd like to talk about the history of the school, and you obviously just mentioned two big bullet points there. Give me a little bit more history and tell me a little bit more about the events that you learned about with the property itself.
All right. So Poston Elementary, like I said, is located in Middletown, Ohio. The school was built in 1937 or finished being built in 1937. And it was built by Peter Post, the Post family. And the story behind the haunting at Post Town is, I want to say back in 1910, there was a train wreck with, what do you call those big trains, the really big trains back then. But there was a head-on train collision.
Okay.
And people were thrown off the train onto the property where the original Post Town Elementary School was built, which was a mile and a half away. So the trains hit, all these people were thrown off. They used that whole area as a triage center, and people were being brought to hospitals in Cincinnati and Cleveland and, I don't know, horse and buggies and other kinds of transportation. So a lot of the hauntings they believe at Post Town have to do with the train wreck. Now, I was there for 8 months. I did my research. I'm trying to figure out, how is it a haunting from the train wreck that was a mile and a half away at the old school property? So through my research, what I learned was before the new Post Town School was built in 1937, they exhumed a family of eight from underneath the school and moved it up the street about a mile to the cemetery. So sometimes I tend to think maybe those two spirits were maybe two of the children that were exhumed from under the school. And my belief is that that school has nothing to do with the train accident. No one died on any of the properties at the train accident. They either died en route or at the hospitals. Mm-hmm. And that's just my belief. And I'm huge on doing research, and I dig as far as I can dig. Mm-hmm. But I still wonder, like, could it be a haunting from the train wreck? I don't know. But I lived there for 8 months, and I never got any children on an EVP. I always get an angry man or a woman. And there was one time I was going to do a public investigation with Ventures Paranormal. And I walked into the break room, and there was two older people standing there. I want to say they were in their late 70s, early 80s. The old man had basically no hair. He had those brown aging spots on his head. He had glasses. He had kind of a bigger beak nose. He had on a gray chinos jacket from the 80s, a kind of old worn out button-down shirt and some slacks. The woman had long white hair pulled back in a ponytail with a white sweater, and I think it was a blue shirt underneath it. She had a camera. The older gentleman had one of those old VHS players our parents used to carry on their shoulders and tape us all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, they're going old school, like Ed and Lorraine Warren. They got the old VHS player, the old camera. Sure. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to learn some new stuff. So I said, hello, how you doing? Welcome to Post Town. We'll be starting the investigation in about 10 minutes. I'll be right back out. We came out 10 minutes later, myself and Ventures Paranormal, and they were gone. And I says, where's the elderly couple that came? And I said, what are you talking about? Everybody who's here is here. I said, no, the elderly couple. And I said, Angelina, what's wrong with you? There is nobody. So I panicked and I told the caretaker, I said, listen, there's elderly people here. I just talked to them. He says, all right, flip on all the lights, look through the school, go find them, and I'll watch the CCTV. Mm-hmm. He went back on the CCTV till about 12 o'clock that afternoon. And this happened about 5 or 6 in the evening. And no people that I described ever walked into that building. So I believe through my research that those are the mother and father of the bodies that were exhumed from under the school.
When you look back at the CCTV video, was there any footage of you interacting with basically nothing on screen?
Absolutely. Absolutely, there was.
So you got to see. So you got to see that. Yes, you in fact did have that moment of, hey, you know what, guys, I'll be right back. And so what does it look like on screen?
On screen, it looks like I'm standing there, and I'm Puerto Rican, so I move my hands a lot. Mm-hmm. So you see me standing there and moving my hands and just looking directly in front of me and talking to them. And at one point, I even reach out my hand to shake their hands, and they don't reach back out. So I'm like, okay, maybe they just don't touch hands. And I'm just like, I was baffled. I'm like, what is going on here?
But it looks like you're...
Are you guys freaking me?
But it looks like you're talking to thin air on the camera.
Exactly. It looks like I forgot to take my medication. Wow. You know, and I told the caretaker, I said, no, I said, this isn't funny. I'm a couple months into learning this paranormal stuff. Yeah. And he goes, come watch the CCTV. And I watched it, and it took me, even after seeing ghosts and other things, it took me to still have to see something to believe it.
Sure.
And I freaked out. I'm still freaking out about that to this day. And almost 4 years ago.
Let me ask you this, and I want to get into, you know, what drove you to decide I'm going to go move into this haunted school for 8 months. But first, I want to talk about the subject that we're on. When you had that experience, and you can probably base your answer to this on other experiences, too, and maybe what you've discovered over the last however many years you've been doing this now. Do you think that you are a sensitive person or someone that's empathic, that maybe you saw these people there, but let's say someone who wasn't as sensitive could have been standing right next to you and never seen them whatsoever, meaning they just kind of showed themselves to you, or you picked up on them because of whatever abilities you have?
You know, that's a good question, because that's something I'm still trying to figure out. After I left Post Town, I took a 2-year break because my mental was really screwed up. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. And I got to say that I think that maybe they just showed themselves to me at one point, because I went to a park one time and we were hiking and I had two young ladies with me and they said, "Angelina, can we go?" And I said, "What do you mean? I'm talking to this old man here." And I said, "What's wrong with you today? We've been standing here for 45 minutes. You're talking to this old guy and there's nobody here. Who's the old guy?" So I thought to myself, right back to the two people at the school, why are these spirits showing themselves to me? Why are you making me look crazy?
I think you figured out the answer to that question then.
Absolutely. When I left the school, I stopped investigating for a while to get my mental right. And then when I started investigating again just this year, I have issues. And now I see dead people when I wake up. I see dead people at locations, mm-hmm. and I don't like it.
When you say you stopped to get your mental right, what do you mean by that? Had it affected you? Had the experiences done something? Or are we speaking of something that we don't need to talk about on the air?
No, the school affected me in a paranormal way. For example, I worked right next to the school. I was a manager at the Dollar General. Mm-hmm. I'd go on break. And I'd be so worried about the spirits that I would walk through the school on my break and check on them. I would leave the school for a day or two to go to a friend's house, and I'd be worried about the spirits. When I first got to the school, I started having dreams about murders. And I've never dreamed about murders in my life. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing murders like you would see them on TV shows. And that stopped when I left the school. And then I started dreaming about incidents that happened at the school. And then I started dreaming about people being hurt. And then I just woke up one day and I was in a room. I'm going to break down. I was in a room and there was just dead people all around me, reaching out for me, looking like me and you do. And it blows my mind. I can't figure it out. I don't know why it's happening to me. I don't like it. I know that maybe they're reaching out because they want help from me, but if I can't help them, I don't understand. So I can't help anybody, but it's not comfortable.
Sure.
And I thought, you know, earlier this year, I was like, okay, I'm feeling better. I'm sleeping better. I'm learning how to handle this. So I can go ahead and start investigating again. And we went to Octagon Hall, and apparently I'm not over it, but I'm getting through it. I'm working through it. I'm still having dreams and seeing dead people. And now it's kind of on locations. I'm breaking down. I'm feeling pain, sorrow, everything. It's just crazy. It's crazy. It's hard to explain.
So you're extremely empathic, that you're feeling all these things. And I want to ask you, because when you start, This is something that kind of came on after you started really getting into this. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Never experienced this stuff in my life before.
So these feelings were not something in the past. When you started to have these things, obviously the easy connection is going to be the paranormal things that have been going on. But were you also wondering for a little bit, like, am I okay? You know, is there something wrong with me, you know, mentally? Is there something starting to, you know, misfire or go wrong?
Yeah, I absolutely thought that I was crazy And it took me a year and a half to finally reach out to somebody and say, hey, look, this is what's been going on since I left Post Town. Mm-hmm. I'm crazy. Like, am I losing my mind? I don't want to call a psychiatrist. I was afraid they were going to throw me into a hospital.
Sure.
Yeah, it absolutely made me think that I was nuts.
Yeah.
That I had made the biggest mistake in my life and I ruined my mental, everything about my mental capacity.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Did you ever reach out to anyone in the medical field professionally to try and share any of this? Or was the fear of, you know, like you said, getting locked up, you know, too great?
Yeah, no, I never reached out to anyone medically. I reached out to somebody in the paranormal field that's been in it for decades. Mm-hmm. And they helped me to understand what I was going through.
Sure.
And told me that I'm okay. I'm not crazy. And I'm not the only one, that other people go through it too.
When you said that you were, so when you're working next door to the school, you said you were so nervous and anxious about the spirits that you had to go and check on them.
Yeah.
What was making you nervous? What were you concerned with that you had to go check on the spirits?
I was concerned, you know, if they were giving tours during the day, were the people going in there respecting these spirits? Were they talking bad? Were they provoking them? Did the spirits, you know, were the floors clean for them? You know, did the classrooms get fixed right for them? I just worried about other people going in there and bothering them and treating them disrespectfully.
Okay.
And then I also felt some sort of attachment, like I would leave there and I'd be so sad. One time the caretaker told me, I said, how come you never really leave the school? He goes, every time I leave the school, I just feel so sad and I need to be here. I need to be with the spirits. And I made fun of him, and then I finally understood, like, there's some kind of attachment that forms with these spirits. Mm-hmm. It's almost like family, like, okay, I got to check on my mom and dad and my brothers, you know, I got to go check on my spirits. And I would even do that before investigations. And I'd say, you know, if you guys have a team up there and they're driving you crazy and they're provoking you, you can come down in my room and hang out with me today. You have my permission, you know? So it was just big thing that I had to protect them. I don't know why.
It's an interesting phenomenon. You're not alone in that. I've heard that from a handful of people over the years. It's a weird thing because you're talking about a property that can make you fairly uncomfortable initially with, you know, phenomenon that you can't explain, that, you know, is haunted. It has spirits in it and they're very active. And it can be sometimes positive, sometimes benign, sometimes absolutely terrifying. But you're still drawn to it and you still have that care. And no matter what seems to happen, good, bad, the other, you still, like, it's something about that place that when you're not there anymore, you feel uncomfortable. Andrea, my friend Andrea Perrin, who was, you know, portrayed in The Conjuring. She has that same thing about that farmhouse. I just had lunch with her about a month ago in Florida. We were talking about that a little bit. And it's that same sort of thing. But she's, you know, she said that from day one, 10 years ago when I first interviewed her, there was that draw to that house, that property. And no matter how much torment it kind of put so many of them through, so many just still, you know, they hated leaving it. At least some of them did. Some were happy to get the hell out of there. But it's an individual thing for each individual person. Some can be like, thank God we're done. Some are like, I know this is horrible for a lot of you, but I love this place. It's very interesting how a property can do that. Let's rewind back a little bit. I want to hear, how did you get into the mindset? How did you approach this idea and then execute it of being in the haunted school for 8 months?
Well, here's how this happened.
Yeah.
So I moved to the Midwest to fish with Bass Pro. And it was an instant thing. I was out of Massachusetts and in the Midwest in 24 hours. So I had to stay with a friend of mine. Things weren't going too well. And this is when I started learning about Post Town. And I reached out to the caretaker and I said, hey, listen, I have to move back to Massachusetts. Things aren't working out here well for me. And he says, does that mean you have to give up Bass Pro? And I said, yeah. And he says, no, why don't you come live over here at Post Town? And I thought to myself, is this man crazy? That place is haunted. And that's what I said to him. I said, you know, thank you very much, but that place is haunted. I don't know how to handle that. I'm not into that stuff yet. And then he says to me, so you're willing to give up a dream that you've had for all your life to join the Bass Pro team? And that clicked, that resonated. And I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and move on into that school. And that's how I moved into Post Town. If it wasn't for them allowing me to move in and ask me, I wouldn't have, you know, had my dream at Bass Pro and have been into paranormal investigations. So I owe Post Town a huge thank you.
How interesting. So and I'm very familiar with Bass Pro. They're headquartered very close to where I live here in the Ozarks. And I've been to many of their things. Amazing. Johnny Moore's just some amazing things. But the idea of moving into this thing, into this haunted schoolhouse, was not initially to do an investigation. Is that accurate? It was more so it's housing and it'll allow me to pursue my dream here with the fishing team.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you get there. I mean, there's always a first day for everything. Tell me about that. I mean, tell me about the first day. You know, this is your new home. Here's the key. How did that go?
Well, I get there the first day and I move in to the guest room that people rent when they go to Post Town. So it's basically right in the center of the main haunting of the school. Off of that room is the caretaker's home, where he's got a kitchen, a hallway, a bedroom, a living room, kind of like a big old nice apartment. And they says, you know, here's where you're going to stay for a while. We're going to get an apartment set up for you in the back. And I says, okay. And I said, there's no bathroom in here. And I says, well, you got to go to the main bathroom downstairs where I saw the people who showed themselves to me to use the bathroom. And I thought, holy shit. If I have to go to the bathroom at 2:00 in the morning, I have to leave this room and walk through this dark hallway with a flashlight to go use that bathroom down the hall. No way. No way. And I said, I can't do this. And then I had to keep thinking Bass Pro, Bass Pro, Bass Pro. So this might be funny to everybody. I don't care. My first night, I had to pee at 2:00 in the morning. I had a styrofoam cup with me and I peed in that cup and I emptied it the next morning when the daylight came up.
I don't blame you.
And I probably
did
that more than one time.
I was going to ask you, was that a one night only occurrence or did you eventually muster up the courage or enough night lights to make it down the hall?
I probably did it, no lie, about a handful of times in 8 months.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Angelina. In part two, what happened the first night that she lived in the school? Were there any documented stories of death or violence at the school? Why does Angelina feel that she had so many visions of violence and death? And does she think there's something dark or evil lurking in that building? We'll ask all those questions and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up to be one at patreon.com/thegravetalks. Or go to our website, thegravetalks.com, and click Become a Gravekeeper. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus material, as well as the full archive of episodes, hundreds of episodes, part one and part two in their entirety, all commercial-free, advanced episodes, months before they're released to the public. You get all of that for only $5 a month, and you help keep us on the air. patreon.com/thegravetalks to get in on that. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using. and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.